I want you to go to Genesis 22, verse 1 through 14. That's a lot of reading, but some of you haven't read your Bible for a week. So this is your time to make up for it. Genesis 22, 1 through 14. I'm going to be reading out of the NIV. And let me say before we start, if Calvary was to stand in the sunshine and cast a shadow, the shadow would fall on Genesis 22. The shadow of Calvary and the covenant between the Father and the Son and the judgment that was executed on Calvary when Christ was smitten of God, that shadow goes back to Genesis 22. Not only that, it is a pivotal point of transition in the life of Abram that justifies him to have such a profound impact on the world in faith, in his family, in his finances. All three of the major religions in the world trace their roots back to Abram. He had an encounter with God of such magnitude. And I would suggest to you that somewhere in all of our lives, we will be tested in similar fashion to see where we stand with God. Genesis 22, verse 1 through 14. Let's go to it now. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here am I," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." Stop there for a minute. That's quite a statement. To take now thy son, thine only son, to a region in the mounts of Mount Moriah and to offer him up as a burnt offering, a sin offering, an offering that would be completely pulverized. And he asked him to offer up his son like it was nothing at all. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, whom you love, whom you love, whom you love, you know you love, you know you love Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah, sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you." I'm not going to give you an address, but I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded up his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Glory to God. That's some shouting stuff already. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on the son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father, Daddy, what's up?" "Yes, my son," he said, "the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide." He always provides. God himself. I don't know why God wants somebody to get this. There might be somebody going through something and they don't know how they're going to get out of it. But God is determined to nail this message into your spirit that God himself will provide whatever it is you're standing in need of, whether it's financial, emotional, mental, physical, job opportunity, strength, health, whatever it is. God is trying to tell you something this morning. The choir to come in from the back singing, God is trying to tell you something, that he always provides. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two, here it is again, and the two of them went on together. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound the son Isaac and laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here am I," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him." "Wait a minute. I'm doing what you told me to do." "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from him your son, your only son. Now I know," I want to read that again, "now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld the gift from the giver." Oh my God. Let's go on. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, over in the corner, right over his right shoulder, there was a rustling, there was a noise, there was something rustling, something was moving over there. A ram caught by its horns, tied in the thicket. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. Substitution. Substitution is when it ought to be you. And God provides a substitute to take the place of where it should have been you. And we are only here because of substitution. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day, it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." I want to talk to you for a little while from the subject, the giver comes first. The giver comes first. Not the gift, but the giver. Not the son, but the father. Not Isaac, but God. Somewhere in your life, God will give you something to see if you will give it back. To see if along the way you have fallen more in love with the gifts he gave than the God who gave it. Somewhere along the way, your faith will be tested to prove that you are not just following God in a spirit of manipulation to get him to orchestrate your affairs, to get what you want out of him. God will ask you to give up something you love as evidence that you love him more. And with that, we shall pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us right now, because we are desperately in need of your presence. Without your presence, we can do nothing at all. And with your presence, all things become possible. Thank you for this august body of believers that have assembled out here and have assembled online, or streaming in and zooming in and viewing in and watching in and listening in to hear what the Lord would say to the church. I don't want a logos. I want a rhema. I want a word that speaks right to the lives of your people. Thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Someone shout amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Yeah, let's go to work. It is interesting, first of all, I'm going to take my time. It is interesting to realize that God starts a new people out of an old people. That he goes amongst the Gentiles into a place called Ur in the Bible, which is really Mesopotamia. And he goes into there and he pulls out a Gentile, goes into covenant with him circumcises him and starts the Jewish nation from a Gentile bloodline. That alone, we could stay there all day. The fact that God can start something new out of something old, that God doesn't need all the conditions to be right, that he can turn water into wine, that he can take the children of Israel in the middle of the wilderness and say, this shall be the beginning of months to you, that it's new when God says it's new. That God can start your life over in the middle of your life. That you can be 40 years old and God could say, be born again. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. That God can just start whatever he wants to start, wherever he wants to start. He says, Abram, get thee out of thy country and away from thy kindred. Follow me. I'm going to start a new nationality out of your loins. I'm going to start a new nation. God is talking to a childless man about a nation. God will talk to you about buying a house when you're backed up on your rent. God will talk to you about starting a business when you lost a job. God talk is crazy talk, and most church folk can't handle God talk because God says things that don't make sense. And we walk in our senses, even though we're told to walk in the Spirit. We walk in our senses. And sometimes God says the wildest thing, and God says to Abraham, I'm going to start a new people in the earth, and they're going to be as the stars of heaven and the sands of the earth. So shall thy seed be. Excuse me, Lord. My wife is barren, and there's no way in the world we can have a child. And I'm getting old. And you didn't do it when I was young and fresh. And I had a spring in my back. That's the problem with preaching to church folk, because they try not to understand what they know they understand, because they're too phony to realize that you have the spring and then it gets sprung. Yeah, and when it is sprung and the spring is gone, God talked to Abraham about having a child, and he wanted a child. In fact, he had to have a child, because you cannot have a nation come out of you before you have a child. All that God had promised Abraham was predicated upon a son, a child, an heir. God had given him the land to possess it. He didn't have to want for anything. Everywhere his feet trod, God said, if you walk on it, I'm going to give it to you. Can you imagine if God said that to you? Wouldn't you get out of here right now? How many folks in here got some stuff you need to walk on? God said, I'm waiting on your footprint. When I see your footprint on it, that's going to be the seal that authenticates the deed of trust that transfers the blessing over to you. I will not give it to you while you stay apart from it. I will not allow you to have it while you remain autonomous. You must get involved with it. When I see you putting your foot on it, I'm going to make it yours. And God gave Abraham a nation, a land, a country. God gave it all to him. He gave it to him because he walked on it. But as you get older, you begin to learn, what good is it to acquire things if you have no one to pass it to? And Abraham has no child. And he has worked hard. and has no child. And he has tried everything he could and has no child. And he has even operated, which sounds kind of weird, by sleeping with his maid to produce a child at his wife's request, which in the biblical days was not odd. It was a way of getting around barrenness to have a child, and brought the child to God. And God said, that's not the one. That child is not the child of the promise. I'm going to bless him. He's your kid, but he is not the heir to the promise. Have you ever tried something and God said, that's not it? I want to talk to some divorce folks in here. Since you don't seem to understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, let me bring this down out of Old Testament theology. Have you ever tried something and God had to show you that's not it? Abraham tried something with Hagar. They had Ishmael, but Ishmael was not it. But I want to tell you something. Ishmael is always a sign that Isaac's coming. So don't get so engulfed in grief about the loss of Ishmael that you fail to recognize that Ishmael is not it, but he is a sign that Isaac is coming. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Somebody shout, it's coming. No, not y'all folks. I want some folks that really believe God. Somebody shout, it's coming. Yeah, yeah, I want you to let hell know that you have not lost your faith and your confidence. And I want you to shout, it's coming. I want you to type it on the line, it's coming. I want you to let the devil hear you say it's coming. I want you to say it to yourself and say it to your circumstance and say it to yourself. I don't see it right now, but it's coming. Abraham waits 100 years. And when his body is dead and Sarah is barren and she's menopausal, she's sweating in the middle of the night, going through all kinds of moods and attitudes. Just keep looking straight ahead. Nobody will know you know what I'm talking about. Just look straight ahead. At the most ridiculous time in the world, God said, nah, I'm going to do it. Because it wasn't impossible enough when we first started talking about it. You might have bragged about yourself when we first started talking about it. But I wanted it to be so impossible that I had my footprint on it. That you would know that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I would have been swallowed up. I wish I had somebody that got something from God that you know that God had to do it because it wasn't in your power to get it done. And I wish you'd give him 15 seconds up. Somebody type on the line, I know he did that. I know he did that. You have to have a few things that you know, 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 that you absolutely know that God did that thing for me. If he never do nothing else, I know he did. That means that Isaac is his heir of the property. He is the heir of the progeneration of the family. In order to have this nation of people, he has to succeed with his son. in order to leave this property to somebody, the son has to live. And the Bible has gone so far to say, through thy seed, all nations of the earth shall be blessed. So this is bigger than just Israel. All of the world is going to be blessed through this seed. Everything is hinged on the survival of this one kid. And God walks up to him one day and says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, whom thou waited for, whom thou waited 100 years for, who thou made mistakes for, who thou endured hardness for, who will inherit the property I gave you, who will kick off the nation I promise you, who will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth, and kill him. And offer him up on the altar in a place I will show you, not just as an offering, because that might not have been so bad, but as a burnt. If I burn him, he can't have a child. If I burn him, he can't marry a wife. If I burn him, he can't possess the land. If I burn him, he can't survive. If I burn him, he has no future. If I burn him, he has no possibility. And yet, without argument or protest, Abraham said, okay, Lord. And saddled up the ass, got two of his servants, kissed his wife on the forehead and the break of day while the dew was just descending on the roses and the sun had just begun to peak above the eastern sky. He saddles his ass and he gets his son, his only son. Listen at the Holy Spirit queuing up the language. Take now thy son, thine only son. Is a reflection of Christ. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Take the only one you got and give it to me. And go somewhere in Moriah. In somewhere. God, can I have a conversation with you? Lord, I don't mind obeying you, but I like direct instructions, complete with details and expectations. And if you don't mind, could you put in a few outcomes? So that I am prepared for how things are going to turn out. I don't like abstract, vague commandments that tell me to get in the region. He says to take your son and go to the region of Moriah. Moriah is a string of mountains. He didn't tell him which one. He said, just get in the region. Oh God. Whoever shouted off of that, you're really my church member. You've really been listening at the word of God. Because the Holy Ghost is preaching down in you while he's preaching down in me that all God wants you to do is get in the region. You don't have to know the details. You don't have to know the specificity. You don't have to know where the money's coming from. You don't have to know who's going to fill the position. You don't know which house you're going to. All God is saying is get in the region. Holler, somebody say, I'm in the region. I'm scared, but I'm in the region. I'm confused, but I'm in the region. I'm in turmoil, but I'm in the region. I don't understand everything, but I'm in the region. Devil, you should have killed me before I got in the region. But I'm in the region now. I'm too close to turn back without seeing what God is going to do. I am finally in the region. He doesn't ask God, how will I know? Because God promised him, if you get, now you write this down online, if you get in the region, he will show you. Ask Ruth. If you get in the region, Boaz will find you. That's why the devil doesn't want you to get close to the promises of God. You don't have to have all the details and the maps and the drawing, because once you get in the region, God will show you the rest. And that's where your faith comes in, Tammy, because you got to be able to walk out without all the details and be satisfied to get in the region and know that when the time is right, God will make your next step clear. And the thing that's been holding you up so long is that you have to see your way clear. And you can't walk with God if you got to see your way clear. So if you're taking notes, get in the region. If you're sick and you want to get well, get around people that are healthy. Get in the region. If you're old and you want to feel young, get around young people. Get in the region. If you're broke and you want to be rich, hang around rich people. Get in the region. I know you feel out of place, but get, y'all don't hear me. Get in the region. If you want to be a great preacher, get around great preachers and just get in the region. If you get in the region, God will show you everything you need to show. Just get in the region. Look at somebody, say, I got to move. I got to move into the region. I got to get closer to what I'm praying about. I got to get closer to what I'm believing God for. I got to get closer to what I'm expecting him to do. I got to get in the region. Come hell or high water, come witch or warlock, I must get in the region. If I can just get in the region, I know God is. Just let me in the region. Let me in the region. I don't care if I'm carrying bags. Let me in the region. Because God says, when you get in the region, I will show you. I won't tell you in advance, but when you get in the region, I will show you. Who am I preaching to? You've been sitting down saying, now, Lord, okay, I'm going to obey you. And I'm going to get my son and I'm going to sell up my ass and everything like that. But I need to know exactly where we're going, because I got to be able to tell Sarah where I'm taking this kid. Because you know, ain't nothing worse than going home to tell your wife something and you don't have details. Well, how long are we going to be staying? How are we going to get there? Who going to pick us up at the airport? If they pick us up at the airport, are they going to take us all the way to the hotel? Have you got reservations? What kind of room is it? How many beds in it? Is it near the ocean? Can we see the other side? Are we going to be able to get there? How late is room service open? Can you find anything? What's on the menu? You know, I'm a vegan now. I only eat Sunday. Can you imagine going in and having to tell Sarah, I'm taking the son of your old age, the one time God opened up your womb and you had a baby, I'm taking your son and I'm taking him somewhere and I don't know exactly where. And I'm supposed to offer him up as a burnt offering. But don't worry about nothing, baby. We'll be back. She say, what? We'll be back. And he takes him and he goes off to follow God. Following God is the most amazing mission of your life. Now, as long as you just come to church, you don't have to pay this message no mind. Because you can come to church once a week and give God one day out of seven and just a few hours out of that day and pay God off. But if you ever really start following God, he will scare you to death. He will take you places you never expected to go, to do things you don't know how to do, to speak to people you have never met. God will scare. Is there anybody in here that's had God scare you to death? And have you put everything on the line? What I'm trying to get you to see is Isaac is all Abraham's got. It's his ticket to the promise. Isaac is to Abraham his access to everything else God has ever done in his life. He has to have an heir to possess the land. He has to have a son to procreate this new nationality or ethnicity in the earth that will become the Hebrews. He has to have Isaac because God will become the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And there won't be a Jacob if there's not an Isaac. He has to have an Isaac because God has promised him, through thy seed shall all nations of the world be blessed. The world is counting on Isaac living, and he is riding up the hill to kill him. Isaac is the promise. He absolutely is the promise of God. What has God promised you? I said, what has God promised you? And what are you willing to sacrifice to see it happen? I think being 100 years old was an advantage when he had it, because when you're older, you don't have time to play games. You don't have time for foolishness. You don't have time for he say, she say, they say. You don't have time to chase down gossip. You don't have time to respond to critics. Is there anybody in here that's old enough that you don't have time for the okey-doke? You got to go for the goal and do what you got to do. Tap on the line, I ain't got time for it. I'm not going to live another 100-something years. I got to do it now. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to get it done now. And whatever sacrifice I have to make, I'm going to make it, because it must happen now. Isaac is the promise. He is the heir of the promise. I can't possess it without an heir. It was illegal to control it without an heir. And now God says, kill it. Kill your ticket. And he says, go. He talked to her. I just got to talking to you about the promise. I'm going to talk to you about the place. The place is so important. finding the right place is important. Over and over in this text, you will see again and again and again, go to the place I will show you. And when you get there, I will show you the place. And when Abraham was a great ways off, he looked up and he saw the place. 3 days off, he saw the place, the place, the place. About 4 or 5 times it's mentioned. The place is important. We get caught up on the ram, but we ought to be focused on the place. The place is a critical thing. Because I can't just worship God anywhere. I have to worship God in the place. Me and the lad are going yonder to worship. If I could just worship anywhere, I didn't have to go. I could have stayed in the tent and worshiped at home. I have to find the place. This won't work out of place. This won't work out of place. I got the right sun, I got the right wood, I got the right knife, but if I don't have the right place, and he won't tell me ahead of time the place, he gives me no GPS, he gives me no address, he gives me no map, he does not describe it. He says, you'll know it when you see it. The place of worship is important. Now, not to you, because you think worship is just laying on the floor and lifting your hands and crying and doing all of that. But Abraham knows that worship, real worship, always includes sacrifice. Can I go deeper? Real worship isn't about emotional sphincteraniums. Real worship is about sacrifice. It always has been and it always will be. And he says, I don't want to make the right sacrifice in the wrong place. I don't want to plant okra in a place where okra doesn't grow. I don't want to put palm trees in the Appalachian Mountains. I don't want to try to raise oak trees on the beach, because I can have the right seed and I could have paid the right place. But if I don't put it in the right place, it will not work. That's why the enemy's always trying to move you out of your place. That's why the Bible said put on the whole armor of God, not so you could travel, but so you could stand. Because once you get in the right place, you can't let no devil in hell move you out of your place. I don't care how you roll your eyes. I don't care how you talk about me. I don't care how you gossip. I ain't going. I came here 25 years ago. They were talking about me like I had a tail. I would drive to church listening at the preachers preaching about me. And I was just a smiling, because I was seasoned enough to know not to let your mouth run me out of my miracle. The devil is a lie. Say whatever you want to say. Call me names. Cuss me out. Draw pictures of me and throw darts in them, and I'm still gonna be right at 6777 West Keys Boulevard, because this is the place. I left West Virginia to find the place. I've traveled for miles to find the place, and ain't no witch gonna run me out of that. If you sit with your family and you can touch anybody, touch them and say, I gotta be in the place. I gotta be in the place. I'm too old not to be in the place. I'm too tired not to be in the place. I'm too weary not to be in the place. I sacrifice too much not to be in the place. I gotta be in the place. If I have to be a doorman, I just wanna be in the place. If I have to sweep the floor, I just wanna be in the place. The place. The place is all about the place. is all about the place. This whole story is all about the place. And I have no direction. All I have is the instinct that I will know it when I see it.
Hallelujah.
That's what God promised you. When you get there, you'll know it. I'll tell you, you got to walk in the dark. You got to walk stupid. You got to walk blind. You got to walk by faith and not by sight. You got to walk without an understanding. You got to walk without a word from the prophet. You got to walk while you're still confused. When you get there, I will show you. The Bible said on the third day, Abraham looked up and he said, that's it. He didn't explain how he knew it. He didn't describe how he knew it, but the ability, oh, Shandabokosha, I'm about to feel like preaching now. The ability to discern when you are in the right place is the most important gift you can have. Is there anybody in here that still has the gift of discernment? That your spirit will let you know this is the right place. This is the right person. This is the right preacher. I can worship right here. That's why you're watching this broadcast. That's why you're tuning online. That's why you got up and you're watching right now, because you found the right place. It will only happen. Do y'all hear me? It will only happen when you find the place. You can have the right God and the right wood and the right son and the right knife, but if you don't have the right place, it still will not happen. So if I was the devil, I would try to keep you. I would gossip and talk about you and make you feel uncomfortable and make you feel lonely and point out stuff like, ain't nobody else wearing their hair like you wear your hair. Ain't nobody else your color. Nobody else is as tall as you. Anything I could say to you to move you out of your place, because the power is in the place. It's not in the knife. It's not in the wood. It's not in the sun. It's not even in the God that you worship. It is, yes, it is not about God. You had God in the tent. You better not mess with me. You had God in the tent. You had God in the bar. You had God anywhere. Anywhere you are, God is there. Jehovah Shammah, God is there. The power of the text is finding the place. And Abraham was 3 days off, and he looked up and he saw it. And he said, I'm not there yet, but I see it. Are there any I'm not there yet, but I see it people? Let me show you how important it is. You remember when Jesus met the woman, the Samaritan woman, and they got into this debate? They were not debating about God. They were not debating about sacrifice. They were debating about the place. She said, my people worship in the mountain. He said, your people worship in the mountain ye know not. You don't know what you're doing in the mountain. My people worship in Jerusalem, for Jerusalem is the place. Guess what? Jerusalem is in Moriah. But the hour cometh and now is, that neither shall they worship in Jerusalem nor in the mountain. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. There is a place in the spirit that you gotta fight your way into, that you can't sit there with your cute dress on trying to be all important and impress people. Don't nobody care about your fingernails. You gotta scratch your way into the place where God can do what he's trying to do in your life. Let your makeup run. Pull them false eyelashes off and get down on your face and find the place. For they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Look at somebody and say, I got to get in the place. Yeah, it's cute. I got to get in the place. All you husbands and wives sitting together, that's cute. But let me tell you something. When it comes to getting in the place, you got to go for yourself. Honey, if you ain't in the mood, I'm going for myself. I got to get in the place. I cannot live with you if I ain't in the place. You wouldn't like me if I'm not in the place. I need to get in the place. And if you got your funnies on today, you're going to have them by yourself, because I'm going to lay out here on this altar and get in the place. My God, who am I preaching to? I feel something about to happen. There is a place in the spirit where miracles happen. There is a place in the spirit where crutches come off. There is a place in the spirit where blinded eyes open up. There is a place in the spirit where you don't have to struggle for provision. There is a place in the spirit where no confusion can dwell. There is a place in the spirit where wellness will come into your mind. There is a place in the spirit where the pain will have to dissipate out of your body. There is a place in the spirit where tiredness has to turn you loose. There is a place in the spirit where no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. Is there anybody that wants to get it? Is it, is there anybody that wants to get in the place? So the closer he got to the place, the more he separated himself from the people. The closer he got to the place, he told the servants, you were good for a season. I sure do appreciate you. But where I'm going, you ain't ready for. You stay here with the asses. Me and the lad are going yonder to worship. When you find a place, you can't take everybody with you. Oh, I need 5 minutes of crazy praise. I need some crazy praise. You can't take everybody with you. Hold it. God told me to tell you, that's why you missed it last time. You tried to take the wrong person to the right place, and it slowed down your journey because you were trying to take people who didn't have the same hunger that you had into a place where the glory of the Lord. My God, I feel like preaching. You fool with me today, I'll preach this place down. Something is about to happen. The glory of God is about to be released. And in order for it to be released, you gotta let some people go. Let them go, 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 let them go. Let them go. to the place. I'm going to the place. I'm going to the place. If you don't want to go, get out the car, because I'm going to the place. Get off my donkey. Get off my camel. Get off whatever you got to get off, because I'm going to the place. The place. The place is where the miracles happen. The place expedites the journey. If I'm in the place, I can do 3 days' journey in one. If I'm in the place, I can outrun a chariot. If you let me tell you something. If you let me get in the place, can't nobody hold me. Your best chance of getting me is before I get in the place. But if you mess around and let me get in the place, I don't care who I'm talking to. If I make it to the place, if I get to the place, no devil in hell can hold me back, because I'm in the place. And then it says that both of them went on together. They both went on together, Isaac and Abram. They both went on together. Three times it mentions them. That's the partnership. That's the partnership. They both went on together. There are some people that are like, that God has anointed to walk you into the place. And you don't want to go on together with anybody who ain't together. Because my seed is on the line. My seed is on the line. Now let me tell you something. The easiest thing to teach in a church with a lot of women is about birth, because you relate to motherhood. But this is a fatherhood sermon. When a man says, "That's my son," when he said, "That's my son," that means that's me in another form. That means that's my destiny. That means my future. That means I will kill you and pray for forgiveness at your funeral if you snatch my son. I dare you. I wish a saint would. I will jack you up. I waited 100 years. God gave me back potency so I could have this final. And a boy come out. And he mine. And he got that thing on him. That glory on him. That anointing on him. That promise on him. That future on him. In a world full of deadbeat dads, you don't get it. But I'm talking about real fathers. Real fathers. Real fathers. Love their children. They'll fight you over their children. I'll bite your ankles. It ain't gotta be no pretty fight. We ain't got to be bouncing around and doing all this stuff John was doing last week. I will bite your ankles. Shoot through your stockings. Spit your toes in your face. That's what's wrong with our men. We have not experienced daddy love. They both went on together. The reason this is important is because they are a shadow of the Father and the Son going up to Calvary. It was not the nails that killed Jesus. Isaiah said he was smitten of the Father. Oh, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It was so personal between the Father and the Son that the earth went black. Where Abraham and Isaac were going, the servants couldn't watch. They both went on together. Abraham and Isaac are together. Isaac is complicit, not victimized. He is not being victimized by his father. He is not being pushed into an occupation he doesn't want by his father. He is not being given an assignment by his father that he doesn't want. Josephus, a historian, says that Isaac was questioned what made him as a young man old enough to fight his father, become obedient enough to climb on the altar and die. And Isaac said, it would have been better that I not be born, than I be born and not do the will of my father. And Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And they hung him high and they stretched him wide. And the earth said, and the Son said, this is private, and blacked it out. This is between the Father and the Son. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Why hast thou forsaken me? Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Mama, this ain't about you. Go home with John. This is between me and Daddy. Because this is the place. This is the place. This is the place. Oh God, I feel like preaching. It's bad. It's bad because I feel like preaching now. I want you to see this grown boy able to resist but becoming obedient unto death. I want you to see this grown boy stretched out like this on the altar, like a lamb would be tied by the four horns to the altar, gap-legged, vulnerable, nailed by his ankles and his hands, like Jesus was nailed by his feet and his hands to the cross. I want you to see it. I want you to see the wood up under him. I want you to see the pan they put to catch the blood when they slayed his son. And when Abram raised his hand to slay his son, to catch the blood in the pan and burn up his body, a voice spoke from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, stay your hand. Stop what you're doing. Now I know that I can give you a gift and it won't become an idol. Come on. Now I know I can give you a car and you won't stay home on Sunday to wax it. Now I know I can put you in a house and it won't be so cute that you won't leave it. Now I know that you have finally come to the place that it ain't about the gift. It's about the giver. When God knows how bad you want the gift, he knows the gift can become an idol in your life. And he needs to know that he can give you something without it replacing him. I'll give you what you want. I will give you what you want if it don't take over you. I will give you what you want if it doesn't become your God. I will give you what you want if you don't start worshiping it. I will give you what you want if it doesn't take my place. And every now and then I will test you to make sure that if it comes down between the gift and the giver will always come first. This was the test with the prodigal son. The problem with the prodigal son is that he loved the gift more than the giver. Father, I can't wait on you to die. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And he left the giver for the gift. And that's why it all fell apart. And somebody listening at me right now, the reason things keep falling apart is that every time God gives you a gift, you get too busy for the giver. Every time God gives you a gift, you forget the giver. The first time I began to paying tithes was never a problem when I was broke. I'm honest to goodness telling you the truth. It was $20 a month. It wasn't going to make no difference anyway. I said, if I'm down to my last 20, I'm broke anyway. I might as well trust God. I had no trouble tithing off a welfare check. But when that check got six zeros,
come on, Bishop. Come on, Bishop.
I forgot how to do percentages. I act like I didn't know where to move the decimal. Because I told the Lord, I said, Lord, look like to me now. Look like to me, I could give you half of this, you'd be good. He said, if that's too much to give to me, you keep it and I'll take the 90. See, when the gift gets bigger than the giver, God has to judge you. Because you love his things more than you love him. There are people watching me right now. The reason you don't sow and the reason you don't grow and the reason you don't move forward into the next dimension, you might have money, but you don't have peace, you don't have joy, you don't have health, you don't have family. The reason that your life is withering is because you're worshiping the gift, not the giver. Don't you know every time I give, it hurts? Every time I give, I bleed. But every time I give, I break the grip of success on my life, because I will let nothing separate me from the love of God. And every time I offer it up to him, I am saying that he is worth more than it. And worth more than it is worship. Because worship is what it's worth. Oh, come on. Stay with me. Daddy's home. Y'all got to give me a minute. Y'all got to give me a minute. Y'all got to give me a minute. So there he is with his knife up and his son tied and the wood ready to be burned. And right in the middle of it, God says, stay your hand. And this is why you gotta watch this. Behold, a ram. A ram, a way of escape, is already tied up in the thicket. If you'd have gone up on any other mountain, there wouldn't have been a ram there. I only had one ram on one mountain. So you had to worship in the right place so that in your time of trouble, your provision would already be provided. When you are in the right place, your provision is already tied in the thicket. As I close, I don't tell you, God's got some rams tied up for you. God's got some rams tied up for you. But where they are is so deep in worship. Your ram is tied up in a deeper realm of worship. And if you go into that deeper realm of worship, everything you need is tied in the thicket. Somebody say, tied in the thicket. The reason I want you to know that it's tied in the thicket and not wandering around in the thicket, because if it were wandering around in the thicket, it could leave. But God tied it in the thicket, because what God has for you, can't nobody else get it. And as soon as God knows that the giver comes first, every blessing you've been praying for is tied up in the thicket. Suppose Abraham had gone up the wrong mountain. Any other mountain. Yes, Shando Kosha. Any other mountain would have killed his son. This was the only mountain where the ram was provided. This is a word for somebody. Your ram is waiting on you. It's tied in the thicket. It's waiting on you to find the place and the partnership and the provision. So watch this, Dr. Jill. I'm going to say this, I'm going to close. So when Abraham stayed his hand and looked over his shoulder, he saw a ram tied in the thicket. And the Bible said, so he said, the name of the place shall be called Jehovah Jireh. Yeah. You heard that, didn't you? He did not say that God shall be called Jehovah Jireh. He said the name of the place shall be called Jehovah Jireh. There is a place that is your Jehovah Jireh. There is a place where your rams can't get away. There is a place where can't nobody take your job. There is a place where can't nobody have your anointing. There is a place where can't nobody steal your position. There is a place where everything you've been praying for, God's got it wrapped up and tied up in the thicket. You are not waiting on the ram. The ram is waiting on you. Whoever I'm preaching to, I just need 60 seconds of praise and praise. If you got a ram waiting on you, give him a praise. I mean a real praise. I mean a Holy Ghost praise. I mean an anointed praise. I mean a supernatural praise. If you know you got a ram, 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 give him a praise. Get beside yourself. Get out of yourself. Get out in the aisle. Get away from your friends. If you don't got a ram, there's a ram. The Holy Ghost said there's a ram. Take me to church. Take me to sanctified church. Take me to a storefront church. Take me to a good car, tambourine beating, Holy Ghost church, because I feel a ram about to get loose in the thicket. There's a ram in this place that's about to break loose. There's a ram about to break loose. Somebody's ram. Somebody's ram. I don't know what it is, but I see a ram.
Helping everybody else. can hear it. I can hear it. I hear a ram. I hear a ram. I hear a ram. I hear a ram. 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 I hear 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 it. I hear it. That's my ram.
I said, give him a praise. I'm going to close. I don't want to, but I'm going to close. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in this place. I wish you could see what I see. In the spirit, I see rams tied up in the thicket. They're tied by their horns, wrapped up in the thicket. For every believer in this room, there is a ram. I dare you to believe it. All of you folks on Zoom, I dare you to believe it. I dare you to believe that there is a ram tied up in the thicket for every circumstance in your life. If you get in the place, the ram is waiting on you. The ram is already there. That's why you had to be online this morning to get this word, because there's a ram tied up in the thicket. You're streaming online. There's a ram. 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 There's a ram tied up in the thicket. There's a ram tied up in your worship. There's a ram tied up in your sacrifice. There's a ram tied up in your labor. There's a ram. 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 Abraham was prepared to give up what he did have to get what he didn't have. Every head bowed, every eye closed. There is no doubt there is a God. There is no doubt there is a wood. There is no doubt there is a knife. There is no doubt there is a father. There is no doubt there is a son. There is no doubt there is a ram. The only doubt is finding the place. And get in the place and let no devil in hell move you out of your spot. Somebody heard from God this morning. I didn't even want to preach this message. I told the Lord kept telling me Genesis 22, and I kept looking around at it, something else. He said, no, Genesis 22. I said, I preached Genesis 22 before. He said, no, I want you to preach it again. Somebody is going to be streaming on, logging on, or walking in this room who needs to find their ram before you damage your lineage. You need to find your ram. I want us to put something on the altar, not physically, but in our giving. I want us to put something on the altar as a sacrifice. I don't want to be like the Samaritan woman who worships in the mountain, she knows not what. And I don't want to be like the Jews who are worshiping where God used to be, and they're missing where he is. Lord, let me see the place in the spirit. This is not a geographical location. It's a place in the spirit. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Lord, I think I need a deeper worship to loose my ram. I think I need a deeper consecration to loose my ram. I can't have my old time consecration and get my new time blessing. I gotta labor for this. I gotta let some folks go to get this. But I thank you because you just assured me that you've already got my ram waiting on me. And as I sow tonight, I sow into the place of me being in the place. I'm not praying that you put the ram in the place. I'm praying that you put me in the place where the ram is already waiting. Even if the ram is peace, even if the ram is love in my home, even if the ram is healing for my body, as I sow today, I sow on purpose. Abraham didn't go by accident. He went on purpose. He packed for it. He planned for it. He walked for it. He rode for it. He sacrificed for it. And it was worth it because he found his ram. He did not call God Jehovah Jireh. He called the place Jehovah Jireh. There is a place for me. And I want to find it in time. The years are rolling. The decades are passing. I can't spend another year wandering around in the desert of possibilities. As I sow this seed today, I sow it for clear direction. Speak in this place, Holy Spirit. You started out telling us that you would provide. They didn't know what I was going to preach. I didn't know what they were going to sing. But there's something you want the body of Christ to get right now. After COVID, after killings, after shootings, after shut-ins, after murders, there's something that you want us to see that you have for us. There's a ram for churches. There's a ram for businesses. There's a ram for entrepreneurs. There's a ram for college tuition. It's tied up and it's waiting on us. We're not just going to pray. We're going to travel. We're going to Google. We're going to search. We're going to look for it. It is out there. God told me your ram is out there. It is not that he hasn't provided. You haven't gone deep enough. If you're not giving and you got your hands free, lift them in the air and let's just go a little closer in the worship where we can see it afar off. Listen at me. Keep it real soft. Keep playing it. I want to stay right in that vein. There's somebody bound in the shackles of sin or depression, despair, and you feel like you just can't get out. Your ram is salvation and forgiveness and wholeness. He always provides. Can I tell you with all assurity that you're in the right place at the right time? Can I tell you that you're standing in a miracle building right now? That I'm not a native of Texas, wasn't born in Dallas, I was called to Dallas. I was called to Dallas. And for 25 years, I have been standing on this wall, pointing people to the ram. Everybody stand for just a moment. I know you've been standing a while, almost long as me. But I have this heaviness on me like there's a backslider or a sinner. That needs to find the God of the Mount. And I know we're not fully back, and some of you are watching on screen and you can't come down the aisle, but prayer can reach you on screen. If you give your heart to Jesus, Prayer can reach you on screen. It can reach you online. The Holy Ghost will come through Zoom and fill you with the Holy Spirit right there where you are. What does it mean to be born again? It means that a new nature, a new gene has been put in me. I've been regenerated. It doesn't mean that I can't make mistakes and that I can't falter and that I can't fall, but it does mean that I won't stay down. Because something keeps pulling me higher up on the mountain. You've been in the valley too long. And you're in this place this morning, and I can feel you. And I want you to make your way down to this altar, and I want to pray with you for you to accept Christ as your Savior.